This portion of the Fred and Jeff Show is brought to you by Sleeping Frog Farms and Fred's Meditation Salon and Tequila Lounge.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, for your further listening pleasure.
Direct from the golf course and onto your radio, this is...
Hello, everybody.
The Fred and Jeff Show.
Hey, good morning, everybody. This is the Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Von Stein here with my little brother, Jeffrey.
Hola.
And we are celebrating the people, the places, the events, history, and the culture that make living in Tucson and Southern Arizona so gosh darn wonderful.
Are you sure about that?
And we invite people to visit us at fredandjeff.com, follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, and even subscribe to this tome of wisdom and entertainment on iTunes and TuneIn Radio. So, Jeffrey, let's see.
I always love it when you say that. This tome of wisdom and entertainment.
Yeah. It is a tome.
So how many cups of coffee do you have this morning?
I don't drink coffee. Actually, I rarely drink coffee.
Fired up.
And actually what I do is I typically fill the cup about two-thirds full of half and half, a little Splenda, and then top it off with coffee. That's how I drink coffee.
Yeah, I don't even do that much. I'm a tea drinker.
Yeah, I'd rather just have my little snifter of tequila and be happy.
Ah, good for you, Freddie.
So, lots of stuff going on.
Absolutely.
You know, one of the things we
and
haven't talked about...
before we get going, yeah, folks, we should let you know that this segment of the Fred Jeff Show is brought to you by our friends at TucsonHappenin.com. TucsonHappenin.com is where you want to go to check out all the super fun things that are happening here in the Old Pueblo, especially like a day like today, Sunday the 22nd, because today is National Cranberry Relish Day.
What?
So run right out to Trader Joe's and get some of that.
Yeah, why so early in the month? Why isn't Thanksgiving?
Well, tomorrow is National Eat a Cranberry Day. The 24th is like National Sardines Day.
Yeah, but why wait? Or why do it so early? Why don't they wait closer to Thanksgiving or actually on Thanksgiving?
Well, because
Cranberry Day.
Because then you've got, after National Sardines Day, you have National Parfait Day, Shopping Reminder Day, International Day for the Elimination of Violence Against Women Day. Shouldn't that be every day, Fred? And then, of course, your favorite day, the day before Thanksgiving, is Taiwan Day.
That's my favorite day, yeah. That's perfect.
So, folks, check out TucsonHappenins.com because so much stuff to see, so much stuff to do, so much stuff to get involved in. Get out there and meet your neighbors because that's how you build a community. And that's what we're all about here on the Fred and Jeff Show.
Really?
Well, that and a good cigar and some tequila.
Yeah, that's all I'm about.
Yum, yum.
So this is a little bit early, but people need to get tickets now because it typically sells out. A Tucson Pastorella, which is annually put on by Borderland Theater, is coming up.
Did you really pronounce that correctly?
Pastorella?
Pastorella. So that sounds like something you would order at an Italian restaurant.
No, it's like Cinderella.
Pastorella.
With
okay.
A priest. Pastor.
Okay.
So the Pastorella is coming up December 3rd through the 6th. Get your tickets now because that does sell out. It's a holiday tradition in the Old Pueblo.
Right.
Let's see what else. The Poetry Center's got some classes and workshops coming up. If you go to fredandjeff.com, we'll have links to their calendar of events.
Yeah, which go ahead.
I was going to say probably you're not on Tucson Happenings. I've never seen... I haven't gone through the microscope, but I don't. Maybe Poetry Center isn't there.
Mm-hmm. Well, you better get it on there.
Well, just go to friendjeff.com.
But there's always, and folks, today until 5 o'clock, you can go to the Golder Ranch Fine Art Festival, which is at Oracle Road and Golder Ranch Road. Go up there and check out some fine arts.
Yeah. You know, did you take advantage of the studio tours last weekend?
The studio tours? The inflection in my voice should tell you, I don't know what you're talking about.
We talked about it on the show like 2-3 weeks running.
The studio tour. Oh, no, I did not.
The TPAC studio tours.
I forgot about that.
Oh, man, some of the shows were
brilliant. There's just so much stuff going on.
What about the
Bisbee Film Festival that's happening today?
Today. That's a great road trip.
Starts at 1 o'clock, so.
Did you go see the Suicide Girls? The burlesque show at the Orialto?
You know, Fred... I invited my wife, my lovely wife, my lovely esposa, Tiana, to go see the Suicide Girls burlesque
show. You did not.
Yes, I did.
You did not.
But I didn't really tell her exactly what it was about, and then she got online and checked it out, and we didn't go.
Yeah.
Darn it. I wanted to go. But
so the Tucson, Arizona Boys Chorus holiday concert's coming up?
Yes.
At U of A Crowder Hall?
Yes.
That's another holiday tradition for us folk here in the Old Pueblo.
If you're out and about today and you want to hear some great guitar music, head on over to Sundays in the Garden concert series hosted by the Tucson Guitar Society at Tohono Chul. That starts at 1 o'clock, goes till 3.
Coming up
that
in a couple weeks is the traditional, this is a really a traditional holiday event, is the 4th Avenue Winter Street Fair, the 46th annual.
Is that true?
Yeah, 46 years.
46 years?
So the Spring Street Fair was actually the 90th Street Fair.
The 90th Street Fair.
Yeah, and actually 2006.
And you guys still haven't gotten it right?
Nope, not yet.
90 tries, and we're going to try it again until we get it right, folks.
And next year, 2016, will be the 100th anniversary of the 4th Avenue Downtown Historic District.
Really?
Yep.
So as the executive director of the 4th Avenue Merchants Association, do you and your cohorts have anything in store for us that we should either stay away from 4th Avenue or go down there en masse?
Oh, no. People will be coming down en masse for the 100th anniversary.
We'll see. I hope they do.
Yeah, and the last thing I got is just remind people, if you go to the main library, the Joel D. Valdez Library.
Right, good old Joel Valdez.
Check out the
old boss.
The one-act culture pass. You can actually check out, just like you're checking out a library book, you can check out tickets to all sorts of fun cultural activities around Tucson, including Arizona Opera, the Arizona Theater Company, Jewish History Museum, Tohono O'Chul Park, Tucson Botanical Gardens, the Tucson Museum of Art. I actually got tickets for those. Symphony UA Presents.
Oh, yeah, which one?
Tucson Museum of Art.
Which, is there anything special going on over there? Or you just want to go in and check out the art?
They always have something really cool going on. They have their permanent exhibit.
Which
but
is?
They also have shows. Their permanent exhibit.
Which is?
Art that's there all the time. That's what permanent means.
We're calling it the Stump the Fred Show today. Stump the Fred Show.
And, there's a lot of stuff going on.
And, I got two, three more things, folks. This afternoon at Desert Christian School, Oliver, the musical. Go check that out. Go support those kids because I'm sure they put a ton of work into putting that performance together.
No, that's an easy one.
Also, at the TCSO Center Stage.
What's TCSO?
Tucson Symphony Orchestra. Our good friend Mark Blakeman, who we chatted with last week, over 2175 North 6th Avenue, is Expressions in Brass. Expressions in Brass. They're going to be doing their brass quintet is going to get together and perform some wonderful pieces. That starts at 2 o'clock today. And there's so much more. Check out TucsonHappenings.com. Oh, I forgot all about this. The 46th Annual Mountain Oyster Club Contemporary Western Art Show and Sale. I got an unbelievable piece of art there last year. Folks, if you are into Western art, you got to go to this. It's this afternoon from 3 to 5 at the Mountain Oyster Club. Fantastic. Of course, the U of A basketball team plays Northwestern State. I shouldn't actually say we're playing them. I should say we will be beating them soundly. And then U of A Presents has got She Wing Dance Arts. I'm sure I mispronounced that. But that's tonight, 7 o'clock at the U of A Centennial Hall. Check that out. We got lots more for you here on the Fred Jeff Show, so stick around. We'll be right back.
Bit of the Fred and Jeff Show is brought to you by Unicom Graphics, Steel Door, and Sleeping Frog Farms.
Now, time for more of the Fred and Jeff Show.
This is the Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt. I'm here with my little brother, Jeffrey.
Hola, Shukshon.
And we are celebrating the people, the places, the events, history, and the culture that make living in Tucson and Southern Arizona so gosh darn wonderful.
Correct, Fred.
And, you know, one of the places we love hanging out is our beloved alma mater, University of Arizona.
Oh, I thought you would say the cigar store.
Well, that's not really an alma mater, although we could probably figure out a way to...
But what is the definition of an alma mater?
Well, we could change, alter the definition or do something to make that fit in.
I look at it a place that you spend money, you are culturally diversified, you...
How do you get culturally diversified well, at a cigar store?
I guess you get to, all the different people.
I guess you get to learn about
Cuba
and Honduras and Ecuador. Well,
but you could also learn about the guy Davis Monthan is doing if you're sitting next to him, or Scott the ex-cop, what he's up to, or talk to Alex the grumpy. What do you call a guy that sells cigars in a cigar store? He's not a barista.
No, he's the manager.
The grumpy manager of the cigar store.
Yeah.
There's plenty of things that you can do. You could watch a little MSNBC, which you typically don't. That would diversify you.
This is why we have a cultural desert in the life of Jeffrey Ronstadt.
That's not true. Very diversified. I'm a Gemini. I like
Cuba. No, you're not.
What? Yes, I am.
You're a Cancer.
I am not a Cancer.
I will bet you $5 that you are a Cancer.
Well, what's the phone number to call the show?
I don't know.
Give me the phone number.
No, the phone number is 520.
Yes.
428. 5104.
The first person to call the show to tell Fred that I am a Gemini because I was born on June 21st gets a dozen roses from our friends at Mayfield Florist.
Well, they could say that. It's not the truth. But
why
they
not?
Could say that all day long.
Are you calling our listeners liars?
Well, no, you're making them liars.
No, I'm not.
You are making them liars.
So anyhow,
you tell people to speak the untruth.
That's true.
So you're making them be liars.
So
they need to call and say, Jeff, you are wrong.
Then they get nothing.
I will send them a dozen roses from Mayfield.
Oh, we got 2 dozen we're giving away this week.
Yeah, right.
All right, go. So what are we doing today?
So we are hanging out at the Confluence Center for Creative Inquiry, which is...
I have a creative inquiry.
Okay.
Keep going, sorry.
No, I want to hear it.
So, Fred, what provides a physical and intellectual home for the arts, humanities, and social sciences?
My brain.
No, the Confluence for Creative Inquiry.
The Confluence?
Confluence Center for Creative. See, Confluence to me, I heard Confluence only one time before, and it's the confluence of the Monongahela, the Allegheny going into the Ohio River when I watch a Pirate game or a Steeler game.
Yeah.
So that's how I know Confluence. But Confluence Center, this synergy of terms, I love it. And who are we with today?
We are talking to Javier Duran, who
Hello, Javier.
The executive director of the Confluence Center for Creative Inquiry.
He's a
professor of Spanish and border studies.
All right, Javier, welcome.
Which makes sense because we're sitting on the border.
Oh, we're actually sitting at the Confluence Center.
Well, that's true too.
But we are a border town. So, yes. Javier, where are you from?
I was born in Hermosillo, Sonora.
Oh, they got good fish there.
But my father's born in Tucson, so I'm a Tucsonoran.
So you probably hung out with all of our little cousins. We have a bunch of Angulo relatives in Hermosillo, Sonora.
Yes.
Do any of them owe you money?
No.
Yes, then we do. We have plenty of cousins in Hermosillo. Yes, we do.
Okay.
So great. Hermosillo, you grew up in Hermosillo?
Yeah, and I spent a lot of time here in Tucson as well, going back and forth, visiting family, and downtown was a very special place. We always came downtown. My uncle, George Aituli, used to have a store downtown in Congress for many years. So that was a special place for me.
What was the name of his store? Do you remember?
At one point was the Imperial store. They sold records, and then he sold camping equipment, and yeah.
He sold camping equipment?
In the 70s, yes.
So he was a competitor of the Ronstadt Hardware Store?
Yes, they're probably a good friend of them as well.
So. That's awesome. Very cool.
Yes.
Very cool. So you have great memories growing up, going back and forth between Hermosillo
yes.
and Tucson.
Mm-hmm.
And when did you move to Tucson full-time?
For college, I was 19, back in 1981, and got 3 degrees from the U of A, and then went to Michigan, Michigan State as faculty, came back in 2002 as a faculty here.
All right. You were teaching Spanish at Michigan?
Yeah, I was Latin American studies, Spanish, yeah.
All right. Good for you. So how did you make the jump between teaching Spanish, Latin American studies, to the Confluence Center?
Oh, hello.
Oh. All right.
It should be my cue.
Well, we didn't know that. We didn't know that because...
We didn't plan this out very well.
No, we did not. So here we also have Ann Betteridge, mm-hmm. and you're also a FUD. Or PhD.
I am post-hole digger. I've also heard it called.
Oh, that's a good one.
Post-hole digger. I like it.
I'm writing that down.
That's an excellent one. And you're the director for the Center of Middle Eastern Studies, right?
I am.
Mm-hmm. All right. So, and what's your story? Where are you from?
I'm from Connecticut originally, and then went to Chicago for graduate school, and then headed off to Iran to do research and lived there for about 4 or 5 years, and then came back to the States and ended up living in Tucson. I've been here for about 37 years.
37 years. Now, when were you in Iran?
Before the revolution, during the revolution, and a little bit after.
So this, we're talking about when the Shah was overthrown?
Right.
Wow. How was that, being an American living in the middle of all that?
Well, when I went to do research, I ended up getting married, so I have an Iranian husband, so I had family, so that was different, and it was a fascinating time to be there. You end up understanding a lot more about politics and history when you're in the middle of it.
I believe it. I believe it. We have a family story. I don't know if it's true or not.
None of our stories are true.
Well, they're, you know, it's like the Santa
they're
Cruz
apocryphal.
River trout. We'd like to take you on a fishing trip to catch some Santa Cruz River trout, if you're interested. But mom and dad went on a rotary trip, and they were in China, and they were a couple of streets over. My dad was getting fitted for shirts during the tanks rolling into Tiananmen Square.
Oh, my goodness. What a time to go shirt shopping.
They had no clue anything was happening. No idea.
No, well, when you're in a revolution, too, you don't quite know that's what's going on.
Right.
Later, they brand it with that name. But at the time, it's just a lot of stuff.
And so all the news that was happening there, because, of course, your news sources are state news sources there, were they weren't giving you the full picture of what was going on? Mm-hmm. I mean, is that true? Do you remember any of that?
We had BBC radio that we would listen to.
The BBC.
People would all sit around the radio and listen to that. But otherwise, it was state news sources.
Crazy, isn't it?
It is.
So what brought you to Tucson?
Well, we came thinking we would live here for a little while. My husband's an architect, and he got a job here, but we thought we'd be here for a few months and then go back to Iran, but the Iran-Iraq War lasted more than a few months, and so we made our home here.
And there's a big Persian community here, isn't there?
There is. There's quite a sizable one.
Yeah, we have a lot of great friends that are Iranian.
Oh, and they must do some good cooking for you.
Oh, my God. You know, so we had our friends Larry and Shala over the other night, and they've had us over with some amazing Persian food, and what we served them, we were a little embarrassed. They ate it, but my gosh, it pales in comparison.
McDonald's.
We'd rather them invite us over than us invite them over, because the cooking is amazing.
Oh, I understand that. Yeah, I love it.
So here you are, and you've gotten hooked up with the U of A.
Mm-hmm.
You're the director of the Middle Eastern Studies
Center. We also have a school for Middle Eastern and North African Studies, so we have lots of languages taught here: Arabic, Hebrew, Persian, Turkish. There's a very extensive program here, and we've had a center here since 1975.
No kidding.
It's one of the older, more established Middle East centers and Middle East studies programs in the country.
Wow. All right. So our introduction to you on the show, though, was Javier was introduced by you to... Tell us the connection that you guys have.
We were on a number of committees together over several years when the administration of the university decided that it would be a good idea to do something in support of the humanities. There's big support in institutes for science, for other fields, and they brought a bunch of faculty together to discuss how best to do that. And Javier and I were on those committees, so we got to know each other then. And it seemed that it would make most sense not just to have humanities, but to bring humanities, arts, and social sciences together in a really new way and encourage and support work by faculty and students in those areas.
Very cool.
Yeah,
we never really had a humanities institute at the U of A before, as opposed to many other institutions that have this, but we got a lot of work by faculty and top talent experts and people working across disciplines. This is one of our trademarks at the U of A. We're highly interdisciplinary historically. We have people from the arts and the humanities working with people in medicine and science and astronomy. So it made a lot of sense to create a very interdisciplinary center, just like Bio5 in the sciences, that would promote and replicate the work of the colleagues and also provide support and also have a program for grad students and so forth. So out of those conversations among faculty and the support of the administration in 2010, the center was created.
Okay, so because Fred and I represent the great unwashed, what does it mean, the humanities? What does that mean? Don't look at each other. No comparisons. What, So when we talk about the humanities, you know,
humanities are always like, you know,
Homer and the Iliad and things like that.
Yeah, right. And it's actually, yeah, any degree, you have to have so many, there's a prerequisite of having so many humanity credits.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the humanities is really at the core of what we do. You think about everything you read, everything you write, you know, when we think about the classic traditions that you were talking about. So that's one way to look at it. Another way to look at it is in terms of liberal arts and how people and our students here learn to do critical thinking, writing skills, think differently about the world and learn more, and also things related to language, mm-hmm. History, philosophy, linguistics. So that's the broad range of what we call the humanities.
So you would say, and I would cheer you if you said, that the cornerstone of humanities is critical thinking?
That's one of them for sure. And also the human sciences as a sort of the core of what we do as well.
That's awesome. Because I think in today's culture, we're missing a lot of that critical thinking. You know, we have a lot of people that are kind of, you know, they just kind of fall in step with what the next guy told them. Like, you know, people that will call our show and tell Fred that he's right, that I'm actually a Cancer and not a Gemini.
I actually looked that up. We'll talk about it next segment.
Okay, we need critical thinkers out there, and that's at the core of what you guys are developing.
Yeah, but there is, you know, the soft side of this, there is, like, non-critical thinking, the arts. You know, you need people to expand your horizons, and that not isn't necessarily critical analytical. It's more, you know, spiritual and opening, you know, opportunities up to look at things
right.
Different ways.
And that's why the center became sort of unique in many ways, because if you look at a traditional humanities institute, you might not have the arts or you might not have some of the social sciences. In this case, we have these areas, and hence the notion of creative inquiry, which is sort of like an umbrella to be inclusive of the creative efforts and the arts, which many times get left out of conversation.
That's fabulous. Okay, folks, we got to take a break here at the bottom of the hour. Stick around, because we got the meaty part of the Fred and Jeff Show coming up.
The meaty part?
Well, good stuff. We're going to talk about what we're doing here.
Is it like the gizzards? The gizzards coming?
No, but it's the heart. It's the heart, Fred. All right. So stick around. We'll be right back with more here on the Fred and Jeff Show.
Come on, let's turkey trot.
This portion of the Fred and Jeff Show is brought to you by Barker Morrissey Contracting, Ronstadt Insurance, and Casa de la Luz Hospice.
Now, time for more of the Fred and Jeff Show.
This is the Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt. I'm here with my little brother, Jeffrey.
Dun, dun, dun.
Who is a Cancer.
Who is a Gemini.
And we are celebrating the people, the places, events, history, and the culture that make living in Tucson and Southern Arizona so gosh darn wonderful.
That is exactly right,
Fred. And we invite people to visit us at fredandjeff.com, follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, and even subscribe to this tome of wisdom and entertainment on iTunes and TuneIn Radio. Now, Jeffrey.
Fred.
During the break.
Yes.
I perused at least five astrological web pages. Well, actually, I did during the last segment. And every single one says that Cancer is June 21st to July 22nd. So I'm sorry, you're not a blessed Gemini like me.
Wait, say that again, Fred. What are the dates?
June 21st
yes.
through July 22nd.
And that is what?
That is Cancer.
No, they're wrong.
No,
they're wrong. These fly-by-night web developers that you deal with, you got to have them talk to George and get their
No, all of the you know, astrological hippies out there, they know what they're talking about.
Okay, folks, it's Fred at fredandjeffshow.com for any hate mail that you're going to be sending Fred.
Hey, do you remember Art Rabot from South Point?
I do remember Art Rabot.
So he was like totally into astronomy.
Yeah.
And he would go like berserker nuts.
Yeah.
If you asked him how the astrology was going.
You remember Thomas Paine?
Oh yeah.
Remember Tom Paine? He was into pyramids.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. And he was like building pyramids.
If you took your razor blade and you put it under a pyramid,
it would sharpen.
It would always be sharp.
That's right.
I'm here to tell you that's not true.
No, that was great. I remember those days. That was like a big deal. Like, remember Leonard Nimoy? You know, had that whole series. He narrated the whole series.
Oh yeah, what was that series?
But the pyramids was
In Search of the Pyramids. I love that stuff.
Yeah, I remember people building like plywood and 2x2.
Remember that little hat with the pyramid on top of it?
But you had to be sitting in alignment with magnetic north or something.
Oh, but we digress.
Yeah, but okay, Mr. Cancer.
Gemini.
So we are hanging out with the fun kids at the Confluence Center for Creative Inquiry. We've been talking to Javier Duran, who is the director of the Confluence Center, and also Anne Betteridge, who is director of the Center for Middle Eastern Studies here at the beloved University of Arizona.
Yes.
So before we went to the break, we started getting into the history of why you guys exist in the first place, sort of bringing together the monolithic humanities into one under one umbrella.
Man, I'm very impressed today with your vocabulary.
You should be impressed with my vocabulary every week.
No, did you like pick up a thesaurus before we went on the air?
One day you're going to say that word correctly.
Thesaurus?
One day you will say that word correctly.
Is there no H in it? Thesaurus?
Thesaurus.
Thesaurus. Well, okay. I can't say Confluence Center either.
Well, you did just said that.
But see, it's the
okay, I'm going to put, you know what? From now on, I'm going to install a pyramid in the studio to hang right above you.
Thesaurus?
And everything will be perfect.
You know, someone gave me a hard time the other day about saying et cetera. It's not et cetera.
There's no X.
Right, it's et cetera.
Yes.
Thank you.
I think that was actually me a couple of weeks ago during the show.
Why you got to be like that?
Because that's who I am.
You should be more loving instead of more critical.
No.
I'm your little brother.
Yeah. Yeah.
By the way, folks, it's Obamacare time. If you're getting the shaft out there, give us a call at Ronstadt Insurance.
Why is that so funny?
Oh, no, I just had to throw that in there because, it's good times right now.
I thought you guys were great at navigating that stuff.
We are, but guess what? There's only 18 options left. Everybody else picked up their ball and went home. So if you're out there looking for a health plan, give us a call today because we can help you out.
Excellent.
So here we are with Javier Duran. Javier, we were chatting about the Confluence Center.
And we might get back to that at some point.
At some point, because do you have anything to add about the pyramids that we were just chatting about?
The Mayans had pyramids. We actually visited them.
Now, why do you bring up the Mayans with
Tulum.
Javier here? Are you saying something about Javier, our border friend?
Yeah, he's Latin American Studies.
Do you guys talk about the Mayans in Latin American Studies?
Yeah.
So let's talk about the Mayans.
No, let's talk about the
conflict. $20.
Yeah, probably.
I met him when we were in Cancun. The night Roberto Duran fought Golden Boy. Are you a boxing fan, Duran? Mr. Duran? Come on, you've got
Professor
the name.
Duran. I got
the name. Duran, Javier.
My boxing memory is not as good as yours.
Mine
was
neither, because you know when you go to Cozumel, you can get Cuban cigars. Have you been to Cozumel?
Yes.
As a U.S. citizen, I'm not a lawyer, but as a U.S. citizen, I would warn you not to talk about any consumption and or possession of contraband items.
I said neither. I just said when you go to Cozumel, you get.
I know, but you were on the verge, so.
Oh, all right, yeah.
I was just warning.
Because the Department of Justice has nothing better to do.
Oh, nothing. Nothing at all.
So here we are today talking with Javier Duran about the Confluence Center. And the one thing we missed when we were in our last segment, who started this? Whose idea? You said it was a broad range of people, mm-hmm. but there had to be like one person that said, hey, we don't have this, and we need it. Who was that person that came up with the idea?
I would say it was a confluence of people, really. The first confluence was people, I would think Miranda Joseph,
of
Calvin Gender Woman Studies. She was one of the proponents at the beginning. And in conversations with the Office of Research, Dr. Leslie Tolber at the time, and the deans and the colleges, they start thinking about this idea of creating something that we didn't have. And it was the right time to do it, despite the economic challenges that we had at the time. And for the faculty, that was a great signal of confidence in investing in these areas in a time in which the economy was not doing so well. So that was a positive message that the faculty received. And then some of us were incorporated into the conversations. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think at first people thought about some of the smaller things that might be done, you know, a scholarship program, a fellowship program. Those are all fine and well, but they can go away. And they also don't really draw attention to the subject of this coming together of people from all these different fields and the really creative, interesting things that can happen at those moments when they come together. And so the idea of having some kind of institute established that would have a continued existence and allow for things to change. You know, as ideas change over time, there would always be a place where people could come together for that.
That's fabulous. And folks, we're here with Anne Betteridge, who is the director of the Center for Middle Eastern Studies, and Javier Duran, who is the director for the Confluence Center for Creative Inquiry. And you guys are outreaching all the time, all the time. And one of the great examples of your outreach efforts are your show and tell at the Playground. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us a little bit about that event?
Yeah, one of the additions that we did to our mission was precisely the community engagement piece. And also, you look at the university right now, there is a huge impetus to create what we call 100% engagement. That is, give the students an experience out in the community in a particular moment of their careers, so when they graduate, they have something meaningful and more hands-on. And this is an ongoing process that you will see more of its impact in the community soon. But at the time...
I'm sorry, Javier. So is that specifically geared through the Confluence Center, or is it
the university. The university. But at the time, we believe we were one of the first units that sort of adopted this idea of community engagement in a more organized manner. And so we decided to take the research and the ideas and the great work of our colleagues to the community instead of the other way around. And this is the time in which downtown is undergoing this reconstruction. There's a lot of moving pieces, and we were fortunate that Playground at the time, after it just opened, welcomed us to have a monthly event in a very informal setting, sort of like a happy hour meets faculty presentation, and provide a space for people in the community that normally would not come to campus in a weekday to have a drink and learn and talk and meet with faculty members and grad students from the university.
Can you get credit for this? Is this a credited class?
No, this is just a
can we work
activity.
On that? Because I think I'd like to work
yeah,
on
Jeff, Jeff wants to really come to class and have a beer. That's the...
Well, there's more than that.
Well, I'm...
And a hamburger.
You know, I'm sure we could talk about it and see what options there might
it's
be.
Javier, it's okay to say no to me because I'm going to ask a lot of crazy questions. So you guys have... So you put together this happy hour, learning, outreach, kind of the synergy of getting the people who have graduated, the community, and the professors.
And also because the venue is really friendly to audiovisual presentation. That's what it's called, show and tell. We sort of give preference to presentations that have these audiovisual component. And that's been really great. We have had people from astronomy, from many different areas, bring presentations, videos, talk about, you know, popular culture, music, a number of things.
Lowriders,
we had a great show.
Lowrider culture is big.
One of our colleagues, Chuck Tatum, a former dean of humanities, published a book on lowriders. So we arranged a presentation from his book, but also we brought three clubs of lowriders, and we used the parking lot and the playground.
At the south side of the building?
Yeah, to have a show and tell, precisely.
That's awesome.
And also we got a lot of communities and families that were part of the club. So it was a very interactive, very cool thing between an academic and the actual members of the clubs and the community. So that's an example of a very successful show and tell we had.
Yeah, I think it's really important because, you know, faculty often seem sort of dry and distant from what's going on in the community, but a lot of the things they study are really fascinating and related to the community. So you take it there and you put the play in playground.
That's the one cool thing about all this going on. It's not just the Confluence Center, but, you know, the College of Science and other places have been doing this for a while, mm-hmm. is we have this huge hunk of real estate in the middle of our community, and the community at large probably doesn't know, aside from going to a football game or mm-hmm. basketball game or softball game or whatever, they don't know what's going on. Mm-hmm. And there is all this cool stuff on. So, you know, the Stewart Observatory, those guys have, you know, twice a month they're putting on a presentation. The College of Science and now the
College of Behavioral Sciences.
Behavioral Sciences is doing the lecture series. Mm-hmm. And so it's really nice to have the work being done here by students, a lot of students, and the professors as well, the staff, being exposed and celebrated in the community.
Mm-hmm. Would it be fair?
And actually challenged, too. Because, you know, the last event was the Don't Buy Share discussion at the show and tell at Playground with Anita Bapu. And, I mean, I participated in the sharing economy. It was about the sharing economy. But
you never share.
Not with you.
Well, I'm but, part of the economy.
Not my economy.
Oh, jeez.
But I mean, you know, there are idealisms or, you know, idealistic notions in that, in her presentation. And it was interesting to talk to her about, well, where's the balance between the current economy and the sharing economy? Where, you know, where's the threshold where, you know, you can still make the sharing economy work and still have people with being able to generate income to participate in that economy? I mean, those are things that have a public vetting of these ideas.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that's important to not only to have the committee sit passively and listen to what the faculty or the students have to say, but have an exchange, mm-hmm. have a conversation about it, and also take into account what the feedback of the community members and the people in attendance is.
Yeah, and I think people in the community, maybe not having been in the academic environment as much or constantly as we are, will ask really different questions, and that can only be good.
Absolutely, absolutely. Is it fair to say that in your typical university setting, not just U of A, but any university, that colleges seem to live in silos? They have great ideas, and sometimes those great ideas never jump to another college to be shared.
Well, I think at the University of Arizona, one of the hallmarks of what is done at the university is that people do get out of those.
They collaborate. But,
you know, and that's one of the things that Confluence is capitalizing on and providing opportunities mm-hmm. to support. And it's something that people don't think of universities that way, and we want to both encourage it and demonstrate it to the community.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
that's really
I would agree. And I also think that in the next 3 to 5 years, we're going to see more of that. Because of the realities in the economy, because of our change demographics, and also because of the potential to achieve a number of things. I mean, we see a lot more things happening between the health sciences enterprise, for instance, which is north of Speedway, and then the main campus south of Speedway. And there's a lot of stuff happening, and synergies brewing, and conversations between scholars happening. So I think we're going to see a lot more of that, also because of the resource limitations that we're facing.
Right.
Putting together an interdisciplinary team to tackle a problem is a lot more efficient than looking at the problem from one given discipline. So I think we're working on de-siloing or unsiloing.
I like that, de-siloing.
De-siloing higher education, and I think the U of A is doing a great job.
That's awesome. All right, folks, we got to take a quick break. We will be back. See, Fred, only Geminis talk like that.
Really?
We'll be back with more here on The Fred Jeff Show.
This portion of the Fred and Jeff Show is brought to you by Anthony Cigar Emporium, Power Women Investing, and Mayfield Florist.
Now, time for more of the Fred and Jeff Show.
This is the Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt. Here's my little brother Jeffrey.
Hola, Shukshon.
And we are celebrating the people, the places, the events, history, and the culture that make living in Tucson and Southern Arizona so gosh darn wonderful. And we are sitting in a really cool place, the Confluence Center for Creative Inquiry. We've been talking to Javier Duran and Anne Betteridge, who are, I guess, are you, well, Javier, you're a director, but the people who, other academics who participate, are you like fellows or?
I'm on the board.
On the board of the Confluence Center.
And I have been since the beginning. I guess yeah. I'm one of the ones who's hung around the
longest.
Yeah,
we have the director's position, and we have a staff, a team that is non-academic. And then we have a faculty advisory board, and we basically work from that model. So we don't really have scouts and residents or affiliated faculty, but we are more of a non-instructional research center under the Office of Research.
But you both still teach.
Right. Yes.
Okay,
yes.
So you're still...
You still have a day job.
You still have a day job.
Exactly.
This is the right stuff you do at night.
It is.
Yes.
So we want to talk about that. So on Wednesday, December 2nd, from 7 to 9 p.m. at the Playground Bar and Lounge, downtown on Congress, you're hosting your next monthly event. This one is Speed Networking Meets Shark Tank with an Academic Spin. Mm-hmm. Tell us about this.
Well, last year we partnered with the Institute of the Environment to do this, and basically the idea was to get a number of faculty that, for the most part, never met before, create teams, and on the spot really organize a competition that at the end would create four different teams. There was a panel of judges and the audience, and those faculty members had a limited amount of time to come up with the best idea. And the best idea was given a couple of awards. And this year, we're just doing one. We're focusing on the theme of a sense of place, creatively shaping our community. And we hope to have around 20 faculty who most likely never met and do the same exercise for up to $3,000.
Holy mackerel.
And then they'll take that money and go do what they thought
and
of.
And go to the bar and buy everybody a cocktail. We hope.
No, see, okay, here's
the Fred and Jeff entry right here.
Yes.
See, it involves tamales, tequila, and the pastoral.
And cigars. That's awesome. So this could be knock down, drag out, or it could be incredibly collaborative. You're going to have egos wounded, egos lifted. And folks, you want to get out there and watch this. It sounds like a ball. How are you guys recruiting the faculty members?
Well, we're putting a call for...
it gets proposal. Advertised all over campus and on every campus. Listserv. So it gets to everybody as far as we know. It's
that
up to them to
awesome.
Come.
Awesome. And so these faculty members are rolling into this thing. All they know is what the topic is. Mm-hmm. And they don't know who they're going to be teamed with.
Right.
And then they go at it.
Right. And there's going to be a panel of judges that is going to be also working with the audience. The audience has a role in this. So if the audience thinks the project is cool, they will cheer for whatever project think is right. So that's taking it.
So has the panel of judges been chosen yet?
Not yet.
Oh, don't say that.
I want to submit my name right now.
Fred is always... First he got Jell-O wrestling.
I want
now
to judge.
He wants to get... He always uses our shows to get free media passes to things.
I do not.
He does. He's a cheater. So this sounds like a lot of fun. A lot of fun.
Hey, Fred is a judge.
Fred is not a judge. So what else can you tell us about this super fun event? It's the U of A faculty getting together, creating these ideas. Everyone in the audience and a panel of judges, not including Fred, gets to
vote
on it.
Okay, just for the record, I do have a master's degree from the Elder College of Management. That's all I'm going to say.
Javier?
I have credentials.
He has credentials.
I have skills.
Yeah, but you're not a pothole digger.
Well, I could be. I can be. You know, if there's a steady paycheck in it, I'll do whatever you want.
We know, Fred. That's how you bamboozle the Fourth Avenue folks.
So we hope to see you both there.
Oh, thank you, Javier.
And hopefully...
Do you have brothers and sisters, Javier?
Not here.
But you have them.
Yes.
So when you go home and you see everybody, is this sort of diatribe here, is this sort of typical of what happens in your family?
To some extent.
Maybe? Yes. Really? Guns and knives come out?
Depending on the
brother and sister.
And the subject.
Depending on the festivity, Thanksgiving, Christmas, you name it.
Yeah, we're having to leave for Thanksgiving this year. All right, we got 2 minutes left. Anything else? Is there anybody you guys want to say thank you to?
Big sponsors.
What else
do
you got going?
Well, we have the show and tell continues in the spring, mm-hmm. and we're going to have the Global Human Rights Direct in January. We have a Barrio Stories project that is going to be very interesting and very... linked to the community. This is led by Professor Lidia Otero and Borderlands Theater in a collaboration. This is going to be in February. And then we have a graduate student jam in March. And so those are things coming up. I think the Borderlands project with Lidia Otero is going to be really interesting and relevant to the local conversations about our sense of place in Tucson.
That's
we also want to thank the administration, the Office of Research and Discovery, the Provost's Office, and the President's Office for their support. They've been incredibly supportive of what we do in our faculty and our deans of the colleges.
We have some individual donors in the community, too, who've really been caught by this idea of Confluence Center and what it accomplishes. So we'd really like to thank all of them as well. They're absolutely indispensable to what we do.
And also invite the community to follow us and write to us and also come to our events and send us an email to have questions.
Yeah, and check out the website, confluencecenter.arizona.edu.
Yes.
The events are on there, past events, future events, what you guys are up to. It's a great resource if folks want to get more information on what's happening here at the Confluence Center. Javier Duran, director, Ann Betteridge, director of Center for Middle Eastern Studies, thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Well, thank you so much. We really enjoyed it.
We really appreciate what you guys are doing. Keep it up. And if you do need a judge for your thing, vote for Jeff.
Okay.
All right, folks. We got to go. Do we got anything to give away, or do we already give all the roses away?
No, the roses, anybody who tells the truth and identifies Jeffrey as a cancer gets a dozen roses.
I'm not a cancer.
Anyone else is a liar, they get nothing.
And for first caller to call us up and wish us happy Thanksgiving, we got lunch or breakfast for two at Tohono Chul.
Cool.
The Bistro Garden there. So, folks, have a great Thanksgiving. We hope you have a safe, healthy one. We hope you have tons to be thankful for. And we'll talk to you again next week here on The Fred and Jeff Show.
Let's talk about the good time. Let's talk about the good time. I wish I could just go back to the days I'm speaking of. When a friend would meet you and a smile would greet you. What this old world needs now is old-fashioned love. Ain't it guitar? Yeah. Preach it, son.
This portion of the Fred and Jeff Show is brought to you by Sleeping Frog Farms and Fred's Meditation Salon and Tequila Lounge.